Genesis chapter number 26. I had been reading this week and trying to settle in on exactly what the Lord would have me to preach on. And I don't know if y'all know this, but Sunday comes really fast. It gets here as soon as one is over, the next one jumps up. And so I start trying to prepare for next Sunday, usually on Monday and Tuesday, but it ends up getting finalized sometime on Friday night, because a lot of times Wednesday is right there in the middle. Amen. But I've been reading a little book someone gave me a long time ago. I think I remember who gave it to me. But anyway, I had this book and I'd never read it. It's been laying on my nightstand for probably years now, or laying under my nightstand. I just picked it up and started reading it, and it's a book of devotionals. And one of them I read, I think I'm on the eighth or ninth devotional that's in it. And one of them was talking about a topic, and we'll look at it tonight. But man, it just grabbed my attention last night, and I even dreamed about it last night while I was sleeping, and then trying to cram and study today. And the Lord just gives you opportunities to read and to know and to get to know more from His Word, and I thank God for that. Things I'd never seen before. Genesis 26 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. We're going to jump down to verse number 32. The Bible says, And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. We'll stop reading right there. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word. Call to my memory what I've studied. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so this whole chapter, I did not read all of it, but I've read from verse 12 there till just about to the end of it. And those last two verses talk about how that their son Esau had married two women, and they were grievous to the heart of Isaac and Rebekah. And the Lord just gave that little bit there. I'm sure there is some great significance in there, but I did not study that out. I wanted you to know how the chapter ended. But in this chapter, in chapter number 26, God has made a covenant now, or has transferred the covenant to Isaac. And so you remember the times that God appears, he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when he announces himself. Well, here he says, I'm the God of Abraham, because Isaac is there, right? He didn't have to go any further than that. He's about to make a covenant with him. And so he transfers the covenant that he had made to Abraham, saying, I'm going to multiply your seed, and you're going to be the father of many nations. And he tells Isaac the same thing. You'll notice that, you guys know, that you Bible readers know, that he did not make that promise with Ishmael. Although Ishmael was the firstborn son to Abraham, he made it with Isaac, and he carried the covenant out with Isaac. And so Isaac did something a lot like his father. First, let me say this. In verse number 3 of this chapter, God told him that there was a famine in the land. In verse 1, there's a famine, and it wasn't the famine that was in Abraham's time. It was the famine of Isaac's time. And God told him, said, don't go down into Egypt. I know you're tempted to go down in Egypt, but don't go down into Egypt. He told him to sojourn, in verse 3, in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, and I will give all these countries and will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And he tells him there, he tells him his promise and gives him what he wants him to do. Well, in Genesis, earlier in the book of Genesis, I can't remember if it's Genesis 12 or Genesis 21, Isaac does the exact same thing that his father had done. And what he did was, Abraham, Sarah was a good-looking woman, and so when they came before this same king here, this man Abimelech, he told the king that Sarah was his sister. You guys know about that. Well, then here is Isaac does the same thing. Y'all pray for my brain tonight. It's going everywhere. I promise you, I'm getting to a point. So Isaac does the same thing. Isaac says, you know, Rebecca's a pretty good looking old girl. I better not tell them that she's my wife, because if I do that, they'll murder me and they'll take her. And so Abimelech tells him the same thing that he told his dad, and that was basically, you know, we something might have happened. Why'd you deceive us? And so I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you here. I don't know. From a man's standpoint, I kind of wish they would have stood up and said, no, that's my wife, and stood on business. But from a preservation of their life, I understand why they did what they did. This is my sister. There was a threat there, but there was no imminent danger. And so I understand why they did what they did. Whether I agree with it or not, isn't up to me to agree with, but I can promise you this, God went ahead and blessed them even after both of them had done that same act. I just wanted to show you that it transfers. A lot of times the things that the father does have a great impact on the things that children do. Amen? And the way that we act and the way that we carry out things is a model of behavior of how that our families and our children are going to carry out things. We see that outlined here in the Bible just in that one instance. But then picking up in verse number 12 where I started reading that, the Bible says that Isaac sowed in that land. So the land did not belong to Isaac. We're talking about the land of Gerar. We're talking about the land of the Philistines. Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, is there, and he's allowing them to come into that land. Now, the interesting thing about that is the southern corner or the southern tip of Israel. And so if you look at a biblical map and you see it's way down, Beersheba is way down there south, Gerar is further south than that. It's down in the very little corner of the south, and it's, I guess you could call it a southernmost city of Israel and even into the land of the Philistines where they were. And so he is in a place where it's not his land, it's not what God promised him, but he's got him in this place that is, in by all means, it's a desert. It's not a place of fertile land or fertile soil. It is a desert all around him. Everywhere that you look, There's just desert land and dry land, and there's not a lot that's being going on. Remember, I told you that in verse number 1, there is a great famine going on in the land. Well, in the midst of the desert, during a famine, this is how God worked for Isaac. The Bible says Isaac sowed in that land. That means he planted seed. Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. Now, we read those words and we're like, wow, okay, yeah, he got a hundredfold. No, that means that if he planted 100 seeds, he got 10,000 seeds back. That's what that means. In the middle of a desert land riddled in drought and famine. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? Because some of you are looking at me kind of blank face tonight. Like, I don't really know if I understand it. I'll tell you what, if you get you a tomato plant and put it in a pot, set it in the hottest place you can find that gets no shade, and put that thing in there. Don't ever give it any water. Make sure the soil drains well. And then you tell me at the end of the year if you get any fruit off of that tomato. Now, tomatoes are very resilient. You might get one little tomato, but you're not going to get much more than that. Why? Because it needs water, right? It needs more than just what the bare necessities or what you may think. Isaac was taking land that was in the bare necessity, and because of God blessing it, what he planted, what he sowed, returned to him 100 times what he had put in the ground. Well, that'll take you from a zero to a hero real fast. That'll take you from poor to rich very quickly. Here's why. Nobody else in the land had a harvest. You're in the middle of a famine. All the Philistines, they don't have a harvest. They don't have anything. They sowed seeds. Their seeds did not come up. And if they did come up, they didn't produce anything. The difference is one of them had the blessings of God. The other one did not. They didn't have God's blessings on what they were doing. And so they didn't see any fruit of their labor. They tilled the same earth. I mean, can you imagine being Isaac's next door neighbor? You grew up as Philistine all your life and you've prayed to Dagon and Dagon ain't done nothing for you. And you've called out to the other gods of the Philistines and the other gods, all the ungodly gods. And here's Isaac. He just so happens to be the son of the man that God chose, Abraham, and he's doing what God told him to do, to stay in the land, sojourn in that land, planting this land, and God blesses him. And you're sitting there, you look at your little old garden, and it ain't done too well. You look over here at his, and man, his corn is 10 feet tall. He's got 3 ears per stalk, and man, it's just plump and ready, and it's about ready to pull. And you're standing there looking at yours, and it's 3 feet tall, and you might have an ear here and there. You don't have anything. Man, you're wondering, well, what's the difference? And the difference is that God was blessing Isaac for the father's sake, for what his father had done, believing God. And so he had received 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, the Bible says. The Bible says that the man waxed great. Isaac waxed great. He grew great, and he went forward, and the Bible says, and he grew until he became very great. Now, I don't know what kind of stature or financial ability you would have for God to say that you are very great. Man, I think it's pretty amazing that he called him great. But for the Lord to say, you are very great, man, Isaac had some sustenance. Isaac had some favor of God. And it was both, I believe, in his physical abilities, probably in his physical appearance, in his household, in his children, in all that was going on in his life. Isaac looked incredible because God was blessing Isaac's life and Isaac's family and Isaac's land, all because of what his father had done. He became very great, for he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Now, he's got all this goodness. He's got all these great things. The Bible calls him very great. But then verse number 15 tells us the real reason why the Philistines envied him: for all the wells. Let me tell you something about the desert. Whoever controls the water controls the economy. And whoever had the water, they could set any price they wanted to on water. You know, you guys, you think about Isaac and Rebekah. Do y'all remember how that Ziba found Rebekah? Y'all remember that? At a well. She was watering the camels. Y'all remember that? Abraham said, I want you to go down there and I want you to find me, my son, a wife. And he went down there and he found the lady that was watering, because about the time of the evening when the women came out there to draw water from the well. Now, the interesting thing about a well in a desert is that you either have to dig out, which basically wells and cisterns are very similar. Wells are not always natural. Sometimes they are, well, in the desert, they're almost always dug, and they're dug out. It's rare that you find a natural one. And if you do find a natural one, it's labeled as an oasis, a spring bubbling up in the desert, and there are trees around and vegetation and everything's healthy. But even in that oasis, the water sometimes isn't good to drink. It's good for the plants, but it's not good for human consumption. And so that you have an oasis, you have a cistern, which is a hewn out place in a rock usually, where it would collect water, and they would dig these wells, and then when the rains would come, they would make them so that the water would run off into those wells, into those cisterns. And even in today's standards, a well in the desert, in that area of the world, can hold water for up to 2 years. Because they know how to shade them, they know where to keep them, they know how to collect the water. It's really incredible when you start reading about the wells. But the Philistines, they were jealous about how great he was. They were jealous about what he had, but boy, they were extremely envious of the fact that Isaac had water. Isaac had water. And so Isaac took this water that he had, or you go back and you look, they will water. It's customary. Let me say this. It's customary, even today among the shepherds, that if you have a shepherd that is out of his region and he comes into another region, it is customary to allow that flock to be watered once by that well, because that well is precious and that water is precious. That's why we read in other places where the Israelites were traveling through the desert and others would tell them, we'll pass through your land and we won't even drink from the water of your wells. I think I've got y'all's attention now. I just hope I don't mess things up now. They were jealous of him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. They were so jealous, the Bible says in verse 15, that they had stopped them and filled them with earth, rather than use the wells to water their own flocks. They said, that's a well that Abraham dug, so we're going to close that well off. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that people would rather see someone who has been blessed by God fail than it would be for them to use, or to be happy for them that they had those blessings, or to use the blessings or allow them to be blessed by somebody else's life? See, here we are, we see someone being blessed, and we say, we'll look at somebody and we'll say, oh, that's here's something, growing up in the South, here's something that I heard a lot, that's daddy's money. You know what Isaac had? Isaac had daddy's money. And the Bible says that God was favoring him with it. It doesn't matter where the money comes from. Amen. We just like to say that because it makes us feel good about putting somebody else down. That's daddy's money. He can do whatever he wants to. He's got daddy's money to give. I remember hearing that a lot growing up, and I don't know. I guess there's some people thought I had daddy's money. But if you know my dad, then you know that I ain't got a dime of my daddy's money. Amen. I benefited, and I still benefit from what my dad did, but I didn't have daddy's money. Isaac had daddy's money here. Isaac had what made Isaac and Abraham rich. He had the blessings of God in his life. He had the wells that he had digged. See, his dad went before him digging those wells in all the different places, and the Philistines had come along. They had stopped them up, and they had filled them with earth, and even Abimelech, the king. See, Isaac got so great that the king himself of the Philistines became envious of everything that he had. And they asked him to leave. "We want you to get out of our country. Man, you've been here long enough. You've taken all of our goods. You're much mightier than we." And the Bible says in verse 17 that Isaac departed thence, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father for the Philistines to stop them after the death of Abraham. They wouldn't do it while Abraham was alive. They waited until Abraham died. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. He went back to what his father had done. He redigged all those wells. He dug. It's hard for me to say the word digged. But he dug those wells again. And as he dug those wells, can you imagine they're down there and they're scooping the earth out. And they come to a point where it starts getting muddy. And then they throw a little bit of mud out. And they just start digging. And some of those wells, man, they start, one commentary that I read said that wells in the desert, they usually find water starting at around 30 feet deep. Now, I don't know the last time that you dug a hole, but 30 feet is a long way. So, yeah. So, from floor to ceiling, I think one time, we measured it. Somebody said it to one of, well, we've got a 16-foot ladder, put a 5-foot man on top of it, and he was holding his pocket knife, 5'7", I'll give you that. Amen. And he was, 27 foot? Yeah, 26 foot. So, I mean, you think about, you got a well that they usually don't find water until they've dug the depth or more. Some wells are deeper than 70 feet deep before they find water in the desert. And so you think about all the work that Abraham and his servants had put into that. Think about all the finances that it cost Abraham to dig those wells. Think about the sacrifices that were made as he dug those wells, as he worked hard, as he persevered, as his servants worked hard, as they persevered. And see, Abraham didn't hoard. He didn't have his servants dig those wells and then, well, you don't get nothing out of it. No, man. Abraham made his servants rich. See, a righteous man will not only care for himself and his household, but for those around him. And he'll make sure that the people that are around him and the people that work with him are taken care of too. And so Isaac, as digging those wells again, I could just about see them as they get down in there and they're digging and I don't know, maybe they did it with a bucket and a rope and had one man 30 feet down and he's got one little trowel, one little shovel, and he's down there and he fills a bucket up and he tugs on the rope. They pull that bucket up. Can you imagine the labor that it took? I mean, they didn't have an excavator with an extended boom that they could reach down in there. They didn't have a well, or they didn't have a drilling rig that they could drill down in there and then run a pump down in the ground and pump the water up to the surface. They didn't have all that. They just had to wait until it naturally would fill up. They dug the wells because they knew that the wells were essential to life. And so they dug as deep as they had to get to the water that they needed so desperately in their life. Well, they got to digging. He called the wells by the names that his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley. And watch this. And there found a well of springing water. Now, this ain't just the regular water that seeps from the stone around and the groundwater. This is a spring. We the property that I grew up on, my pawpaw's property, behind where my dad's house is now, and there's another man has bought the property now, but down on the back side of that property there is a spring. And you can walk down there and you can walk right up to the start of the spring. It flows down into Dog River. It's a little creek that comes out of the ground. To my knowledge, it's still flowing. It's still pumping. I'm I'm 45 years old. It was pumping before. When my dad was a boy, it was pumping. They'd go down there and swim. And this little old spring just comes right up out of the ground. And man, it's still running and been running. And so you can imagine the excitement that Isaac's servants might have felt when they realized, man, we not only do we have a well, but we got a well that's springing. We got fresh water. We're not just catching rainwater and runoff. We got fresh water coming up out of the ground. And the herdsmen of Gerar, the Philistines, they got upset and they said, this is our water. You can't have none of this. And so after they had strove about that water, Isaac called that well Esek, E-S-E-K, and that means contention. Contention. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. Now that word Sitna means strife. So the first two wells that he dug on his own brought on contention and strife from other people. Isaac wasn't interested in that. The very fact that Isaac didn't fight them over this well of water that was springing up is pretty incredible. I mean, he could have fought them. Remember, Abimelech told him, you are greater than we are. God called him very great. He had the means. He had the manpower. He could have took it, but he wasn't looking for a fight. And so he named that place, this is contention. I don't want no part of it. Had another one, Sitna. This is strife. I don't want no part of it. And so he goes to the next place and he digs another well, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he calls it Rehoboth. And you know what that means? A wide space. That means that God had made a place for them. And so after the contention, after the strife, God had created a place and made a place that Isaac could continue on and grow and flourish and do well. And so he named that place Rehoboth. And the Bible says that the Lord hath made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And watch what he does. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And here we go. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. I know some of y'all are going, okay, they dug wells. Verse 26 through 31, Abimelech comes down and they make an oath. They try to make peace. You can't keep an oath with crazy. I'm not trying to get political, but we're seeing that now. We're seeing it now. You can't keep an oath with people who are not willing to keep an oath. Remember, their herdsmen were just having strife, just having contention with them. And now he's digged a well and they want to come down here, let's have a peace talk. And so they have a peace talk and they talk about these things and Isaac says, well, why, what are you doing here? I mean, you hate me. You sent me away from you. And they said, well, we just saw that the Lord was with you, and we decided we wanted to have an oath with you so that you just make a covenant with us. That's what they wanted to do. And so he went ahead and fed them. The Bible says he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up as betime in the morning. They swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now, you Bible readers, let me ask you this question. Right there, they made peace. Israelites with the Philistines, they made peace. But you Bible readers that go further in the Old Testament, was there peace? Absolutely not. Zero peace. Back and forth until today. And it came to pass, verse number 32, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called that Sheba. Sheba means an oath. And then Beersheba, the city, it means a well of oath, sevenfold oaths, or oaths that keep themselves. And so I've went through all of that to say this. There are wells that are worth digging in our life. I believe if we look around us, we can see that God has blessed us immensely. And we can keep all the things that our Father has given to us. And we can keep all the things that that has been passed down to us that we've been given. But there comes a time where we, for ourselves, have to get, if I can say it like this, in the Word of God and dig a well. It might be that your life has become murky because you've allowed the Philistines to come in and cover up the well. You know what? I got to thinking, Isaac had to know where the wells were. I mean, if he didn't know where the wells were, it would do no good. I mean, because if you go out through there and they've covered them up with earth and they've filled them back up, then chances are they looked exactly like the rest of the ground that was around there, dry and barren and deserted and no good. And so Isaac had to know where the wells were. I believe we've got a generation of Christians, you know where the well is. You know where you can get water from. You know where you can get help from. You know where you can get life from. You know where you can get everything you stand in need of. And it's going to be up to you to dig that well. Get like old Isaac was and dig deep and find out for yourself. Water your flocks. Isaac had to know where the wells were. In that devotional book that I was reading, I was telling you about this man, he was interviewing different shepherds, and he found a shepherd that had dug a well in a valley. And he had went down there, and he asked the man, how did you know? He said, I was full of questions when I saw the well in the valley. And it was a well like this one that's talked about here that was springing up. And he said, how did you know where the water was? How did you know? And man, I'm going to be honest with you. I grew up just like all of y'all did, where people take a stick and find water. And I'm going to leave that there, you know, right or wrong. But I grew up around that and been around it. And I was halfway expecting that man to say, well, that shepherd grabbed two sticks and he went to walking, and when they crossed there, you know, I was waiting on that. But that's not what he said. He said the shepherd looked at the sides of the cliffs, and he pointed at veins of rock running in the cliff. And he said, I just happened to notice that where we were standing was exactly where those veins of rock ended. And he said, I pointed at the veins of rock. Here they are. The water is going to run through those veins of rock, and it's going to come down to this low point that we're standing in. And the water is going to bubble up out of there. So any water that falls on the earth, that the earth retains, when he come down there, and he said, and the next thing he showed him was there was light vegetation all around. And he said the water was probably 60 foot deep here, but there was enough for a little plant to grow. And he knew there was water there because one little plant was growing. Thought to myself when I read them, I'm like, man, that's incredible. If we as Christians could apply those principles, how do you know where to dig? Man, just look at the rock. See where the rock leads you. Did you know that the rock is not going to lead you somewhere where you should not be? The rock is going to tell you exactly where you need to dig. It's going to take you to the exact point where you need to be. And you know what? You're going to see the other people that are around you are going to have some growth about them, because they're in there too. And they're getting the water in this dry and thirsty land. And they're seeing for the first time that God can do more for them than anything else can. The reason that they strove over that water is because He who controls the water controlled life. God controls this water. This is the water of life. I couldn't help but think, if you go all the way to John chapter number 4, and you find that little lady, And Jesus met her at a... And this woman at the well, I can't help but think, I wonder if Abraham and Isaac stood beside that exact same well. I wonder, because she said it was our father Jacob. Y'all remember this? I can't help but wonder if Abraham hadn't told Isaac where it was, and Isaac told Jacob where to go and to dig, and because of that, all of those generations later, there was water coming up and people could come and get refreshed, and one little lady and a whole town got great spiritual refreshing, all because somebody digged a well. All because somebody got in with God and dug till they got the water. I like how the Lord sends rain while I'm preaching about water. Amen. There's going to be times when you go to digging, you're going to find it springing up, and there's going to be people bring contention. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you on that. You start serving God. You start getting faithful to His Word. You start digging in that. You start getting holy from the inside out, and it ain't going to be long. You're going to be met with contention. And you know what the sad part is? Chances are there's a lot of time it's going to come from inside the house that you live in. It was in the country that they lived in. There ain't no doubt in my mind these same people that they had, the herdsmen that they had contention with, were the same guys that smiled at them the Friday night before. There's going to come contention. There's going to come strife. But there's going to come a place where God's going to make a wide space for you and say, here you go, sit right here and be blessed. Just drink of the water that I'm going to give you. It'll be, the Bible tells us in John 4, that it'll be a well of water springing up inside of us. Not only will He just give you that well springing up there, but He's going to go ahead and give you the well inside of you that's springing up. And you know what? You're going to need that because you're going to get real thirsty. There's going to come a time where other things aren't going to satisfy your longing. I love listening to audiobooks. I love it. I listen to them pretty frequently. I pay for the Audible subscription, but I use mine. And I like listening to those audiobooks, and I also listen to my Bible. And I got in a little slump a couple of weeks ago, and I had to get right between me and the Lord. I was so engulfed in this one book that I was listening to that I got in my truck. Now, my routine is when I get in my truck in the mornings, I turn on my Bible app and I listen to my Bible so that the first thing going in my ears is the Word of God. Well, I didn't do that. I was so engulfed in this book. Now, man, it's a book I had to find out what happened next. Been a long time since a book had engulfed me like this. So I got in there that morning, and the first morning I just turned on. Actually, my truck immediately started playing the book where I'd left off, and so I'm like, well, it ain't but about 15 minutes to where I'm going to run. It'd be all right if I listen to this first. And then I got done running, I got in my truck, I crumped my truck up, and I was listening. My book was still there, and before I knew it, the whole day had passed, and I had not spent time in the Word of God. I'd love to tell you it stopped right there. But the next day came, and I got in my truck to go to work, and when I turned on my truck, that book started up again. I'm like, oh yeah, this is where I left off. And I went through that day, and now I'm 2 days in, and I have not cracked open the Word of God for 2 days. Third day come around, and I noticed myself getting a little crabby, getting a little irritated, getting a lot ungodly. Y'all okay? I know y'all ain't never skipped 3 days of Bible reading. And I said, I was by myself, and my mind wasn't thinking right. I was thinking about things I didn't need to be. And I asked the Lord. I just pointedly asked. I said, Lord, what's going on? What is going through? What's happening in my mind? Why is this going on in my mind? And as soon as those words come out of my mouth, the thought of you haven't renewed your mind. You've just allowed this. And look, there wasn't nothing wrong with the book that I was listening to. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't life-giving. You can drink all the Coca-Cola you want and not get a single health benefit from it. You won't even be hydrated. It'll taste good going down. You all right? You get a hold of some good, crisp, cold water. That'll do some great things for your body. Get you some of that good water. You can get you some really good water if you mix coffee with it, too. I'm just funny. We know where the wells are, church, but we've got to dig. What I know about the Word of God might not be what you know about the Word of God. What God's got in here for me might not be what God's got in here for you. But He wants us all to dig in the wells and to get to the water. Get past the dirt, get past the filth, and let that water wash us, cleanse us up, hydrate us, make us feel better. There's a doctor. He's on TikTok. Somebody will come to him, they'll tell him a problem they got, and he'll look at him and say, stop Googling, go drink water. That's some solid advice. Man, I got this problem, I got that problem, got this going on. Go drink water. Go get you some water. Take you a big, deep gulp. Let God refresh your soul. Let Him work. Isaiah, I don't have it marked. I come across it while I was studying it, and I think I've got a message that I've preached. Maybe I've preached it here called Wells That Won't Run Dry. But Isaiah said, let us drink from the wells of salvation. And God has put a well inside of us that'll never run dry. God has placed a well inside of us and given us a well to replenish the well that we have. We have, amen, under the spout where the glory falls out, amen. It's all we need. The blessed Word of God. I hope this has been a blessing and encouragement to you. I know it has to me, and I apologize if it seems scattered. But I thank the Lord when He puts a thought in my heart and then tells me exactly when to use that thought. Yeah, where to dig. Thank y'all for being here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll be dismissed. Brother David Hardy, dismiss us, please, sir.